Surprise, it's Mother's Day. I got like the third biggest day of the year, and I didn't realize how nervous I would be to be up here. So we'll see how this goes today. But I do want to start off today. It's been so good, and again, I just continue to find these moments just sweeter and sweeter as we join together as the body of believers. But I want to start off this morning just as we dive into the text, because Mother's Day actually transitions really well into where we are going today. But I want to start off today just giving a little honor from my perspective. I'm not saying that Scott can't do it justice or anybody else can either, but I really took some time this week to dive into transitioning well into where we're going. And I just want to say this, that Mother's Day is a pretty important day, isn't it? It's a pretty important day, and to all the moms here today, we honor you. We want to honor you, and I want to make sure that we do that well. So to all the moms here today, we honor you. And to all the grandmothers and the stepmothers and the foster moms and the adoptive moms, we are so thankful for you. We're so thankful for you. And to the women who have been like mother to someone, we also thank you. I've had many of those in my life. I think my mom is sitting here today, and she could tell you that I've had several women in my life, not in a very odd, weird way, but in a very motherly way, that were like mother figures to me, that got me through teenage years when I was too stubborn to listen to my own mom, but they could speak into my life. But I'm thankful for those. And to the soon-to-be moms, we want to celebrate with you. We celebrate with you. And to those who are waiting and hoping, we are praying with you. And to those whom today, I also think about those today who do, this day does bring sorrow or painful memories. We grieve with you. We grieve with you, and we want you to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. And motherhood takes many forms, and the love, the strength, and the selflessness that we so often see in the women among us here, it reminds us of the heart of God himself. Wow, I really thought I'd hear some amens there. And in many ways, motherhood shows us what it means to be held together. To be held together by grace, by love, and even sacrifice. That idea of being held together leads us directly into where we are going into today's message. Because whether you are a mother or not, all of us are part of God's family. We're all part of a family, and we've been called to live in unity, humility, and in love. Do you believe that? I hope you do, or we're going to be in trouble today. But we've been called to live in unity, humility, and love. But how do we do that in such a divided world? How do we live united and humble? And how do we live with love in today's world that is marked so blatantly with just the opposite? Well, I brought a little illustration to help us picture that. I'm an object lesson guy. Many of you have for sure figured that out about me. But I want you to take a look at these marbles. The top is coming off. That's not a good sign, is it? All right, I want you to just take a look at these marbles. Each one of them is different, right? Each one of these marbles is different. Some of them are bold and flashy. Some of them are loud and attention-grabbing. Somebody just made my point. Right. Yeah. Another is small and chipped, maybe feeling a little bit overlooked. It's feeling a little overlooked. And one has been around a while. Maybe it's worn smooth by time. Or maybe it's a little rigid and rough. And another, new and shiny, it's a little unsure of its place. Does it even belong here? Now let's imagine that they could talk. Maybe this bright marble says, "Everyone notices me." Right? Maybe it says, "Everyone notices me. I must be the most important marble in this jar." You think? The chipped one might say, "I don't belong here. I don't belong here. I'm not even whole. And the old one, maybe it sort of grumbles. Maybe it sort of grumbles. It says something like, man, I've been in this jar longer than any of you. I've seen some things. And the new ones wonder if there's even any room for them. Does that sound familiar? Do any of those sound familiar? It should, because that's us. Because whether we think it or not, we all have different stories, right? We got different stories, and we've all got different wounds, and yet we are here together. We're here together, but it's not because we naturally fit. It's not because we've worked out all of our differences, is it? It's not because we worked out our differences. It's not because we voted the same way. It's not because we grew up the same. It's not even because we worship the same way. We're together because we are being held. We're together because we're being held. You see, in this case, the jar is doing all the work. The jar is keeping us close. The jar is keeping us close even when we bump up against each other. Even when we ruffle some feathers. Y'all ever done that? Yeah. Even when we ruffle them feathers and we can annoy and we can misunderstand each other, but we're being held. I want you to see something. What happens when the jar is taken away? Where's Bill? I see you, but you're not sleeping, are you? Okay. Well, we're going to see what happens when the jar is taken away. I'm not pouring all of them, but just check this out. Is that enough or should I keep going? I'll get those, Bill, I promise. They roll, right? What do? They scatter, right? They scatter. And some bounce far, don't they? Some of them bounce far, and some of them, they clump together in little groups, and some of them, they just sit alone. That's what happens when there's nothing greater than us holding us together. Amen. That's what happens when there's nothing greater than us holding us together. That point is worth reiterating. And that's what Paul's point is in Philippians 2, where we are going today. Paul is not just saying in Philippians 2 to be nice. He's saying, live the kind of unity that only happens when everyone inside the jar has the same mindset. The mind of Christ, the mindset of humility, the mindset of service, and the mindset of surrender. Because when we start thinking like Jesus, we stop trying to be the marble that stands out. Right? We stop trying to be the marble that stands out, and we start becoming part of something beautiful. We become part of something that is unified, something that is holy. So let me ask you, what kind of marble are you today? I gave a few descriptions a little bit ago. You can create your own, but what kind of marble are you today? And more importantly, what's keeping you together? What's keeping us together? So I want you to look. Let's look at God's word today. We're going to let Philippians 2 verses 1 through 11 show us the way today. Would you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2. It's going to be on the screen for you if you don't have a copy of God's word with you. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Let's read. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. We're going to keep going. Verses 3 and 4 here. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even, what's it say? Even on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, I love this, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And what's it say? And every tongue confess that who's Lord? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So I want to take just a few moments this morning to exposit these verses a little bit as we work to apply this text to our lives. The question that I posed earlier is, how do we live in unity and with humility and with love in today's world, right? You guys remember just a few moments that this didn't mess you up enough that we can't remember that question, right? So in this society that so openly promotes this idea, and this isn't the first time you've heard, I know the Pastor Scott and I have both said this several times over the last even few months. We live in this society that promotes self, so this isn't the first time that you've heard this. But when we ask ourselves at the local level, when we say at the local level here within the church, how can we be what we are called to be, or live how we are called to live, if we do not do so with unity, humility, and with love? I believe the answer is right here in Philippians 2. I believe it's right in Philippians 2. In fact, I believe it so much that my own kids, I saw them a minute ago, they can actually attest to this. My own kids get Philippians 2 spoken into their lives at the immediate family level. Over the smallest things. I mean, the smallest things. There'll be four piles of clothes folded and ready to be put away on the table. And I'm not going to throw any of my kids under the bus. I won't tell you who does what, but there'll be four piles of clothes ready to go. And one of them will come and get their pile of clothes, and they'll go to the room to sit them on the dresser instead of in the dresser. But here's my problem with that. The clothes are going to the same place. Because right now, we're in a shared room situation. So I'm like, just help a brother out. Just take the clothes with me. Well, they're not my clothes. It's this whole thing. So they get it spoken into their lives all the time. So I understand that kind of a scenario is just a drop in the bucket compared to the issues that can potentially threaten the unity within these walls or the church overall. But the point is made. The point is made that Philippians 2, it provides an answer, provides the answer to the question, how do we do this? How do we live in unity, humility, and love? So I want to break this down a little bit. I want to see, let's see what we find. We're going to go back over some of these verses here. Verses 1 and 2. Look at those with me. I think I put them back up there again. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one another. Right out of the gate, Paul is issuing a call to unity. He's telling the early church, here that pride and selfish ambition can lead to conflict. You guys are aware of that, right? We are all well aware that not even in the church, outside of church, pride and selfish ambition can lead to conflict. So he gives this appeal. He gives this appeal that's rooted in shared experience. And I love how the Message translation it kind of goes through these 11 verses. I want you to listen to this first part of verses 1 and 2 as the Message translation puts this. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. agree with each other, love each other, and be deep-spirited friends. This story-like translation helps us understand Paul's call, but in simpler language. It's like saying this, hey guys, if Christ's love for you has made an ounce of difference in your life, be unified, live with humility, and love each other deeply. Paul understood the importance of unity within the body of believers because he understood how serious it was as instruction even from Jesus. We just finished up a sermon series a couple of weeks ago now that led up to Easter as we walked through the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. Hopefully you guys remember that. Many of us know that the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there is a distinct focus on the events, obviously, that lead up to the arrest, the trial, and the suffering of Jesus. In John's account, I think I explained a little bit of this when I preached one of my sermons there, but in John's account, it's actually a little different. And we pointed out that it's not a discrepancy in God's holy word. Rather, it's a written account that reveals to us what the authors, each of them collectively, what their focus was and what their objective was, the point that they were trying to get across. And here's where I'm going with this, because John's account right before Jesus' arrest was this. In John chapter 17, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but it's known as the high priestly prayer. It's Jesus' final prayer in John's account. And I want to make that point known. In John's account, this is Jesus' final prayer that expresses the love for his Father. It expresses his concern for his disciples. And I want you to hear this. In John 17, verses 20 through 23. He's praying in this moment for his disciples here, the ones that have walked with him, that have learned under him. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So he's praying for the people that will come to know Christ through the disciples, okay? Which if you're a follower of Christ, we are also what? We're disciples, right? So he's praying for them, and he's praying for the ones who will come to know him, that they may all be, what's it say? They will all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are what? Even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly what? One, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. This is Jesus' call for unity among his people. And guess what, folks? It's all for his glory. If Christ's love for us has made a difference, you see where I'm going with this? If Christ's love for us has made a difference, this is just like we said a few moments ago. If Christ's love has made a difference, then be unified. Not for us, not for me, not for you, not for self, but for him. Just like the marbles, right? Our unity comes from not from being the same, but from being held together by the love of Christ. And it is all about him. Folks, in a world of division, the church is called to live out supernatural unity that's not based on culture, that's not based on politics or preferences, rather on Christ. Let's move ahead. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Oh my goodness. I need to warn you here, if you don't want to get a little uncomfortable in your seat, now's a good time for you to head to the bathroom. I want to first define humility here. Humility is this. Let's read this out loud together. Humility is this: a modest or low view of one's own importance. I'm keeping this line in here. This means that not everyone is going to get a trophy for participating in the race. That's right. Don't let your own agenda lead you. Move yourself to the back of the line. Look out for others. These are all interchangeable phrases or wordings. And I tell you what, Paul is clearly defined it here enough to where you could translate it yourself also. These are just a few phrases that I kind of blurted out while as I was typing this week. It's clearly defined and you can also translate this, but Paul is now addressing the posture that is needed to maintain the unity. Do you all see that? So when I ask, how can we live in unity? Well, it's through humility. We live in unity through humility. And what is humility? It's having a modest or low view of your own importance in order to put others before yourself. What? Well, why would we want to do that, Stephen? That's my buddy. Sorry, I just saw his face there. In its practicality, it takes many different forms. If it were practiced, and I hope I get to keep my job after I say this. If it were practiced, we would understand that the moment that we walk into this place, our personal preferences stay at the door. As a worship pastor, now just turned recently disciple pastor and things like that, I tend to focus a lot on the things that I'm around a lot, right? So when I look at this stage, I can see these lights. And they don't matter. These LED lights don't matter. These drums don't matter. The style of music doesn't matter. How many chairs are in the sanctuary don't matter. The color that's on the wall don't matter. The fact that we bought the wrong coffee one time doesn't matter. We don't have enough French vanilla creamers. That doesn't matter. We didn't bring donuts for Mother's Day, Scott. But you know what? That don't matter. What matters is this. Has the love of Jesus made a difference in your life? If it has, if it really has, then be like-minded. Have the same love. Be one in the spirit and one in the mind. Look out for others over yourself. You see how that works, I'm sure. I want to go back to the marbles. I keep them up here to kind of keep me safe. This is like my safety blanket today. I want to go back to those marbles. Imagine if one of these marbles way down at the bottom, what if one of them way down here? What if it starts to think, I want to be seen. I want to head up towards the top. And what's it do? It kind of starts to elbow its way. I don't know, this can't happen. You all know that, right? It kind of starts to elbow its way up to the top, and it causes this shifting. And the other marbles, they kind of get bruised and stuff as it comes up and tries to climb to the top. What happens? What happens to some of them that are up here? Yeah, exactly, yeah. They kind of get pushed out, and guess what happens then? Unity begins to break. Right, unity begins to break. The canister is still there. The jar is still there. It's still holding everything, but the marbles, they're not at peace, are they? They become scattered and some are bruised and then they're divided. And this is what Paul is talking about. The container may be Christ, remember? It's what's holding us. It's what's keeping us together. But guess what, folks? Humility levels the playing field. Humility is what keeps us from pushing others out. It's what says, I don't have to be above you. I want to lift you up. It's at the center of Romans 12:10. I put this part of Romans 12:10 in here. It says, outdo one another in showing what? Honor. It doesn't say outdo one another and may the best man win. We are called to this unity and this humility for the sake of the gospel. And our example is who? It's Jesus. And that's exactly where Paul goes next. Let's move ahead to verses 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Paul is now defining the container. He's defining the container, not just Christ in general, but it's the mindset of Christ. It's his way of thinking. It's his posture towards other, his radical humility that we're supposed to adopt. Amen? Verse 6, who, he's talking about Jesus, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, Jesus was still God, fully and eternally. He had every right to hold on to his privileges of heaven, but what did he do? What did he do? Right here in verse 7. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, by being born in the likeness of men. Folks, he poured himself out, not of his being God, but of his privilege. And he took the lowest posture by adding humanity to himself. He didn't climb his way to the top of the ladder. In fact, he descended it from heaven to earth. He descended it from glory to the cross. And then in verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Folks, this is the greatest act of humility that we have and will ever know. And it serves as our example. This is the mindset that holds the marbles together. It's not ego. It's not entitlement. It's Christ-like humility. That's what draws us together under his example. He is the unity. He is the humility. And he is the love behind it all that is keeping us together. We started today with a jar full of marbles that are held together by something greater than themselves, something outside of them. And we said that that container is Christ. We know that he is what holds us together. But we also, we saw what happens when one marble starts to try to push to the top and the jar stays intact, but the unity begins to break. That's what pride does. That's what selfish ambition and self-promotion do, but humility levels the playing field, right? And Jesus, he didn't just level the playing field. He laid himself down for the ones who didn't deserve it. So now the question becomes deeply personal. It becomes deeply personal. Am I pushing myself up, or am I laying myself down? Have I really adopted this mindset of Christ? Or am I just admiring it from a distance? This is a moment of and for real response. It's a moment to come to the one who descended in love for you. So what do we do with this? Maybe this morning you've never given your life to Christ and you're ready to say yes to the one who gave everything for you. Or maybe you've known him, but you need to come back home again to that place of humility and grace. Or maybe you need to join in on what God is doing at Valley Creek and commit to being part of this imperfect faith family because you're tired of walking alone. Or maybe you just need to pray at this altar and let God reshape your heart where pride or division has crept in. Whatever your next step is today, take it. Don't wait. Let's not be a jar of marbles quietly grinding against each other. Let's be a people that are united, that are held together by love and humility of Jesus. Amen. Would you pray with me today? Father, thank you. Thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the example of Jesus, Father, who had every right to stay in glory, but chose to humble himself all the way to the cross. Lord, help us take that seriously today. And God, we confess today that oftentimes we let pride, Lord, or selfishness get in the way. Would you forgive us for that? Father, we want to be a people that are unified because of what's holding us in place, Father, and that's you. Teach us, Lord, teach us how to live with your mindset, Lord, to serve and to lift others up. Lord, don't let this just be something that we heard today. Let it shape the way we love, that we live, and that we lead, starting today. Father, we thank you for the cross, for the grace we've received, and for the kind of humility, Lord, that saved us. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.